Sunday, the 25th of August, 2013, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Real Characters. Sermon title, Jochebed, God Takes Over. Bible reading, Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Talk by Roger Whip.
Today's reading is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, and can be found on page 42. The birth of Moses. Now a man from the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the river bank. She saw the basket amongst the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, let's pray. Father God, it is indeed a privilege, but also a responsibility to share from your word. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will be with me as I try to bring something out of this passage. And may your Holy Spirit, Lord, convict us, not condemn us, where we need convicting of something we need to perhaps put right in our lives. And I just ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess for most police officers, the most stressful part of the job is appearing at court. I shall never forget my first Crown Court appearance and the first time that I gave evidence at Court 1 at the Old Bailey, and I hasten to add, as a police officer and not as a defendant. Generally, it's not because the policeman's done anything wrong, or as some may falsely accuse, likely to commit perjury. No, but you know that there'll be barristers, especially defence ones, that are paid obscene fees to pick holes in your evidence and try to discredit you, and even try to make you look out as if you're a liar, just so that your evidence would be inadmissible. But as the saying goes, every dog has its day. A defence barrister was cross-examining a police officer during a criminal trial, and it went like this. "Oh, officer, did you see my client fleeing the scene?" "No, sir. But I subsequently observed a person matching the description of the offender running several streets away." "Oh, officer, who provided this description?" "Oh, the officer who responded at the scene." "Oh, a fellow officer provided a description of this so-called offender. Do you trust your fellow officers?" "Yes, sir, with my life." "Oh, with your life. Let me ask you this then, officer. Do you have a locker room in the police station? A room where you change your clothes in preparation for your daily duties?" "Yes, sir, we do." "And do you have a locker in that room?" "Yes, sir, I do." "And do you have a lock on that locker?" "Yes, sir." Now, why is it, officer, that if you trust your fellow officers with your life, that you find it necessary to lock your locker in a room you share with other officers? Well, you see, sir, we share the building with a court complex, and sometimes defence barristers have been known to walk through the room. I asked the question, who do you trust both in and with your life? Your friends, family, colleagues, fellowship? Sadly, like me, like I'm sure some of you would have been let down in various ways in the past. Now, I'd like a pound every time I've said, oh, next time I'll do it myself. Not at this church, of course, but I had been in previous churches. In today's reading, we have this wonderful, well-known account of Moses and the basket. Let's see if this thing will work. Oh, hallelujah. And I must admit that I have never, until I started to prepare this talk, fully realised the importance of this passage. I mean, how many of us even knew the name of Moses' mother? When Martin said, go and speak about Jochebed, I thought, who the hell's that? Because it's not actually mentioned in the reading, it's mentioned elsewhere. She, Jochebed, knew that Pharaoh's order to kill all the firstborn was evil, but she was unable to do anything about it. However, I'm sure that it was that still small voice from God who inspired her to place him in that basket. She trusted God with the life of her newborn son. And God never let her down, though what happened must have far exceeded any expectation that she may have had. Now, what a reminder that God has a plan and purpose for all of us, even if we don't realize it at the time. You know, Moses was God's chosen one. He'd be instrumental in freeing the slaves and leading them towards the promised land. It was Moses who God entrusted the Ten Commandments to. And it was Moses, the only man ever to come and speak face to face with God, as we're told in Exodus 33, verse 11. I wonder how many of us have the faith and the courage of Jochebed. Do we sometimes feel surrounded by evil and wrongdoings, but feel very frustrated by how little we can do about it? You know, when faced with evil, we need to look for ways to act against it and then use God to use our effort, however small that may be, in his war against evil. Now, I'm a bit worried because I think Tina must have hacked into my computer when I heard her prayers this morning, because they really link in to what I'm about to say next. You know, just one example. How many Christians write to their MPs when an ungodly law or laws are being made? Sadly, sometimes it doesn't always seem to change things. After all, nearly 700,000 people, and that wasn't all Christians, signed a campaign and a petition against gay marriage. And I know Tina bludgeoned some people here to sign it, quite correctly so. It was the biggest petition ever made in Britain. And yet Cameron and Clegg arrogantly turned a blind eye. Still, who knows the eventual outcome of and or the effect of that decision? God knows. See, and one day all of us will come face to face with God. And we're going to have to give an account of the things that we did for him, but most importantly, the things that we didn't do for him that we should have done. It tells you that in Revelation, the last book in the Bible. But of course, he alone will be the judge and jury. Which leads me on to my second point that I want to bring out. Although sometimes elder sisters can be a pain in the neck, I know from experience, bless her, Miriam, Moses' sister, seized the opportunity and she bravely approached the royal princess, resulting in Moses not only being reunited with his mother, Jochebed, But she would also receive a generous allowance to nurse her own child, even better than what Blair or Brown could offer. So there's my Life Application Bible mentions special opportunities may come our way quite unexpectedly. Don't let the fear of what might cause you to miss that opportunity. Be alert to all the opportunities that God gives you and take full advantage of them. You know, fear is one of the biggest weapons that the enemy has in his arsenal. The third point that I want to bring out, the Holy Spirit really started to prompt me to emphasise, and it was this, that while I know reading God took over control, sometimes we need to set the wheels in motion. Or in the case of Jochebed, it was to set the sails and let God drive or sail. A woman buys a new car from the local dealer but is unable to drive it off the forecourt until the salesman explains that though it is an automatic car, she still needs to turn it on and to put the gear lever into select. You see, it was no ordinary basket that Moses was placed in. We're told in verse 3 that Jochebed lined it with bitumen and pitch. And that would have been done as when they build boats to make them waterproof, the same sort of thing. She made an effort. She knew how vulnerable Moses would be sailing down the River Nile. Maggie and I have been blessed and we've been down there ourselves. Not in a basket, I must admit. But there you go, I'm pleased to say. They don't make them big enough for that, for me. But it's a strong current and there's often dangers along the banks. It would not have been plain sailing. One day, three men were walking along and they came upon this raging, violent river. They needed to get to the other side, but they had no idea how to get across. So the first man, he prayed to God saying, "Oh, please God, give me the strength to cross the river." And he gave me big arms and strong legs, and he was able to swim across the river in about 2 hours. Now, seeing this, the second man prayed to God, saying, "Please, God, give me the strength and ability to cross the river." And poof, God gave him a boat, and he was able to row across the river in about 3 hours. Now, the third man had seen how this had all worked out for the other two, so he prayed to God saying, "Please, God, give me the strength, ability, and intelligence to cross the river." And poof, God changed him into a woman. And the woman read the map, and she was able to cross by the bridge. You see, sometimes when we fall on hard times, there can be a tendency to sit back, hoping that God will deal with it without any real effort on our part. So how do we set the wheels in motion? Well, certainly serious prayer and sometimes spending time listening as well as talking to God is a very good starting point. We may have to consider perhaps tightening our belt, you know, practical as well as spiritual disciplines. You know, perhaps we have to consider budgeting perhaps a little bit better. Okay, Bourbon Creams, Tesco's value may not be quite as nice as the real McCoy ones, but if you're skint, they're better than now, as they say. If it's our health, maybe we need to change our diet. I wish I knew where you could buy them that size. Look at that. That's a big, 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 big Mac, isn't it, that one? God, look at that little mayo on there as well. Lovely, jubbly. You know, when I first became a Christian, I really struggled giving up smoking. And the church Maggie and I was in at the time, the fellowship really gave me a hard time, gave me some real stick. You know, if I'd go out of church at the end and have a fag. And then, One day, whilst doing my Bible reading, I discovered that God wants my body to be a holy temple in which he could dwell. And the Holy Spirit convicted me, not condemned me, but convicted me to quit smoking, as he didn't want to live in that smelly, horrible place, smoky place. And I cried out, Lord, if you want me to quit, then you better well do it, because I've tried 11 times and I just can't stop smoking. And guess what? He did it. But you see, I had to play my part, and when I picked up my newspaper, not buy any fags. Now, for those of you that don't know, I'm going to share a secret. Life ain't always easy. Some of you may know that. You know, it's the fact that most people, when struggling with issues, often when they lay down, go into what is called the fetal position. So a psychiatrist will tell you it's caused by a desire to return to the mother's womb, a warm and safe place, a place without any fear or pressure. Of course, it would be an impossible task, wouldn't it? Even if you're not as big as me. But even young babies and small children generally don't experience the pressures of life. And I guess when baby Moses was placed in that basket, he never experienced fear and danger as he was laid in that basket. Although certainly he would get more than his fair share later on in his life. You know, how sad that today's society tries to make children into adults too quickly and bring on some of the pressures we adults sometimes have to face. You know, we want our kids to wear the best designer clothes, even makeup for girls as young as 3. Well, mainly girls anyway. Kids in junior schools are fashion conscious. Our schools want 7-year-olds to have sex education. What has happened to the innocence of youth? Can you remember your early childhood? I want you to see this short video. We need to learn a lesson from that. You know, there are things that we need to let go of. And Father God will be there to catch us. He will never let us down. You know, whatever age or the trials or tribulations we are facing, even if we just have a childlike faith, God wants to catch you, to take you in his arms of love, to take over all our problems. We need to lay all our problems at the foot of the cross of Jesus and trust him to deal with it. We need to have the same faith and trust of Jochebed. And maybe we too will be amazed what happens when we let God take over. We all need to listen and respond, whether it's that small voice of God or the shout of God. As in my joke about the 3 men, even if the task or the tribulation appears so huge, so daunting, there are occasions where God shows us a simple remedy that wasn't obvious to us. My final point is that God loves and honours the Jochebeds of this world, the risk takers, the overcomers, if it's done in line with his will and purpose. Our reordering of this building is a risky business. It could bankrupt us. That's why it was important to listen to God in our plans and preparations. You know, if it's what he wants, it will happen. In my previous sermon here 2 months ago at the 10:45 service, I spoke about God opening and closing doors. I don't suppose you remember it. I sometimes struggle to remember what the sermon was the week before, but there you go. Opening doors. You know, unless it's automatic, a door won't open unless we turn or pull and push. Turn the handle or pull and push. I'm sure most of you are familiar with Holman Hunt's wonderful painting, Jesus, Light of the World. And someone told him off and said, look, oi, you've left the handle off when you painted it. They were quite rude about the painting when it was first done. And Holman Hunt had to say, no, that's designed that way. There is no handle on the outside. It's on the inside. Because we need to open the door to let Jesus come in to our life, to all our situations. He won't force his way. And the Holy Spirit can be very powerful and strong, but he can also be very gentle. Maybe you are like Jochebed, facing a dilemma. Okay, it may not be a matter of life and death. Maybe it's about a career change or a relationship problem. Maybe you feel inadequate or fearful. You know, whatever it is, open the door and let Jesus come in. Let him be the driving force. There's no guarantee that it will be always be plain sailing. But he is more than able of calming the storm. I just want to finish with a true police story. For a few years, whilst I was a police officer, I worked in a thing called inquiries section. Now, I'll just explain to you. Sorry for those in my home group or previous home group that have heard this story. You can go to sleep at this point. In the inquiry section, I would deal with things that perhaps happened in other police areas. Say something happened in Essex or the Kent Police. If the person was a witness, I'd have to, and they lived in my area, I'd go and get witness statement. Or if they were suspect, I might have to go and interview them. And if there was sufficient evidence, you know, report them for various offences. And all my notes were written down in quite a thick notebook. I might have 20 or 30 jobs in that one particular book. Now, if a police officer goes to court and gives any verbal evidence, he can only give that evidence if he reads directly from his original note that he made at the time. You know, you can talk about other things, but if it's the actual verbal evidence, what the person actually said, he can't say it from memory. It's got to be read out. I walked into my office, which I shared with three other policemen one day, and there was press cuttings all over, all the desks. And there were press cuttings because the World Council of Churches, in their wisdom, had decided to give £4,000 to the suspects of the murder of PC Keith Blakelock. You can imagine how my colleagues felt, and they kept saying to me, you do-gooders, you so-and-so effing Christians. And yet I spent time with them, giving them bits of good news, little gems from the gospel. And in one fell stroke, the World Council of Churches destroyed that work. I wrote to the president of the World Council of Churches, who at the time was Archbishop of Canterbury, Lord Runcie, and told him exactly what I thought of their £4,000 donation and how hard it was for Christian policemen. But as a result of that, one of the guys wanted to get his own back on me, as if it was my fault. And what he did, he hid one of my notebooks. Now, that's quite serious, because if I go to a court, I'd have to turn up and say, oh, I can't offer any evidence. Now, there is a way that I could get around it. I could perjure myself and say, oh, I didn't have my notebook on me, so I wrote it down on the statement form, because what I would do, I'd copy my original notes onto a statement form, give it to our typist to type out. So there was a way around it, but that would have been perjury. Because when at court someone said to me, is that your original note, officer? I'd have to say yes, and it wasn't. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, as many of you know here, but I do try to be a man of integrity. Anyway, I'm obviously starting to worry a bit about it, and that small voice of God said to me, go and look in the confidential WASAC, Roger. And I went, and I looked in the confidential WASAC. Now, in the police station, the confidential WASAC contains everything apart from confidential waste. Old dog ends, beer bottles, cans of whiskey, made from the CID office. No, I shouldn't say that. These are the old days. I'm going back to it. It's changed a great deal. You know, filthy. Anyway, I'm searching through this, and, of course, there it is. My little notebook, right stuck in the middle of all this stuff I scattered on the floor. Now, after that, I was quite careful with my notebooks. I'd learnt my lesson, or I thought I had, so I locked everything up at night. So about a month later, I must have forgotten to lock my drawer, because the same person stole my notebook. Now, this time, that small little voice just said to me, "Don't even bother to look for it. Trust me." You know, I can imagine getting called up again to the Old Bailey or something, and then just say, "I'm sorry, I can't give evidence because I haven't got my original note." But that little voice said, "Trust me, it'll be okay." No, about a year later, because it can take a long time for these things to get to court, I'm summoned to go to a court in the west of London where they had a stipendiary magistrate, a professional magistrate. And the evidence I had required, where was it? Yes, you've guessed, in the very notebook that someone has stolen. And the night before the court appearance of my home group, and I said to them, can you pray for me in the morning, guys? I'm going off to this court. I've never been there before. Got a professional magistrate there. I'm going with fear and trepidation. I said, "Don't worry, Roger, we'll cover you in prayer." And I got there, and the case was thrown out on the legal technicality. Nothing to do with my evidence whatsoever. Isn't that amazing? God knew a year before and had told me, "Don't worry, it will be okay." Are we prepared to trust God with all that life throws at us, and even with life itself? Let us pray. Father God, forgive us when we'll either fail or we turn to you only as a last resort. Thank you for your unconditional Father's love and protection. A Father's love that is perfect and safe. Father, assist and equip those with parental duties to do the right, godly things for their children. May we all come under the shelter of your wing as we face all that life throws at us. Amen. Can I just say that from past experience, when I or other people have spoken about the Father's love, it can be a difficult situation for some people, because sadly, not all fathers are as perfect as Father God. So can I encourage you, if anything I've said or that applies to you, we will have the healing ministry team here. Please do go to them and let them bring you into the very presence of God, who longs to take over, longs to heal you, longs to bless you. Thank you.